You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today I'm reading Dance, Princess, Dance, the penultimate episode of this serial. Yes, we're nearly done. I'm so proud of myself. I finished drafting the story this week after falling so far behind. So here we go. Dance, Princess, Dance, part 13, Truth or Dare. Kai's feet felt heavy and clumsy, thanks to the fairy cocktail that Clover had mixed for him. Still, he had a job to do, and he wasn't going to let his people down. Not again. He found Princess Camilla dancing in the middle of the mob, her dress torn, her feet streaked with blood. Unlike her brothers, she wasn't even wearing shoes. Her work boots would probably have come in handy. Kai stepped between Camilla and the fairy swain who was dancing up on her. "This is my princess," said the creature rudely. "Shove off," said Kai. "Oh, it's you," said Camilla, her face twisted in confusion. "Are we home yet?" "Not yet," said Kai. He put his hands politely on her waist. "I need you to do something for me." Her eyes darkened. They looked almost black, like ink, instead of the usual blue. "I'm not happy with you, Kai." "I know, and I'm sorry. I trusted you when you wrote that stupid story." "Trust me again, just for now. Be as mad as you like when we're home." Home meant Castle Charming, of course. Her home, not his. "But right now, trust me. Please, it's my job to get you out of here." "Do the tattoo charm," she said abruptly. For a moment he thought he had misheard her under the bright lights and intense pounding music. "Excuse me? I'll trust you, if you trust yourself, Kai. It's an easy charm for someone with your magic. The ink laid out the welcome mat for you. It's not exactly playing hard to get. But you don't believe you can do it. So how am I supposed to believe you can get us home?" Kai stared at her. They didn't have time for this. And yet, he thought over all her lessons over the last few months. The ink had summoned him to her tower, and he'd always followed where it led before. None of the exercises that Camilla gave him ever worked unless she was there, encouraging him with her thoughtful gaze and confident air. "I'll trust you if you trust yourself." He called the ink to him now, and felt it settle in his skin. "Oh," said Camilla, breathing her surprise. She brushed her fingertips over his upper arm, where the new tattoo was displayed. "That's not a quill." "It's not a quill," he agreed, dizzy with his accomplishment. The black ink depicted a pattern of stonework and turrets wrapping around his bicep. Camilla's tower. The safest place he knew, the place where his new friendships had been sealed, where he was learning finally to understand the magic that had confused him all of his life. She smiled, an oddly familiar smile. "So what's the plan?" "Ziggy negotiated a wish. It's complicated, but it has to be to get us out without using too much magic. You have to want to go home, and you have to say something true. It doesn't have to be a secret, just something true that you don't commonly speak out loud. Truth is a currency with the fairies. They don't want to let us go, your brothers most of all, so we have to pay our way out." Camilla quirked an eyebrow. "What's your truth, Kai Foster?" He hadn't thought about that. "Dennis kissed me? It was part of the spell. And then it wasn't." She practically glowed at him, taking his hand in hers. "About time. You know he was 3 times more furious than I was when that article came out. I figured there had to be feelings going on." "I didn't write it," Kai blurted out, not wanting her to believe that for a minute longer. "Honestly, I didn't even mind that much," she shrugged. "I mean, it stung, but people have been writing about me like that my whole life. That's why I hid away." "I wouldn't do that. Not behind your back," he said earnestly. "Is that your truth? I shouldn't think so. Let's try this. Camilla squeezed his hand harder, and her face went very serious. My twin brother's name was Camden. I barely remember him, but I remember having him there beside me. I remember not being alone. They never talk about it. I don't think I've heard his name spoken aloud in Castle Charming for over a decade. When I was a child, I used to wish that he had never existed at all. Better that than this awful hole in our lives where he used to be. There. That's my truth. And I have never wanted to go home so much in my entire life. The cavern wavered around them, and suddenly the air smelled different, of plaster and wool and tea. Ordinary castle smells. The two of them were back in Prince Chase's bedchamber. There was no wild greenery pressing up against the window. It was still morning. They were free. Camilla's triumphant smile fell off her face, and she whipped around. Kai, where's everyone else? My job was to bring you, he said. Camilla burned with fury. Where are my brothers? When she got up this morning, or was that two mornings ago? This had been the world's longest night. Ziyi had not thought that she would end up dancing with Prince Cyrus. Again. Dancing with Prince Cyrus was high on the list of things that she had planned never to do again. Being a hound, with her hair cropped short and her uniform, it was easy to pretend she was not the princess from a foreign kingdom who had tried to trap him into marriage with a fairy tale. "You have to say something true, Your Highness," she told him. "And you have to want to go home." Cyrus looked exhausted and sad. "I think my brother hates me," he said. "I know my father doesn't see me. And I don't want to be king." He closed his eyes and held her closer as they danced. "The other part, though, that's going to be tough." Z gave him a friendly squeeze. "Want it anyway," she ordered him. Dennis shook the Sarge awake. "Time to get out of here," he told him gently. "Yeah, sounds fair," muttered the Sarge, his eyes still glazed over. He allowed Dennis to help him stand. "Back to the castle?" "Back to the castle." Dennis draped a friendly arm around the Sarge to keep him upright. Together they staggered across the dance floor to find his friend Saladin. "I have a boyfriend," Dennis told his boss. The walls entirely failed to fall down on top of them. No mountains exploded. The gods stayed silent. "Yeah?" said Sarge. "He a criminal?" "No," said Dennis. "You're doing better than Jack's dating history, then. That's concerning." Sarge slapped him on the back so hard that they both almost fell over. "Let me know if anyone gives you shit about it." "Thanks." They found Saladin slumped against a wall against the far side of the cavern, covered in drunken fairies who giggled and nipped at his skin. "Sorry to break up the party," said Sarge, kicking his friend in the foot. "Up and at him, soldier." "You have to say something true, something not usually spoken out loud," said Dennis. "And you have to want to get home." Sarge stared bleakly down at Saladin. "I was on guard duty the night that the baby prince was stolen." Saladin met his gaze, unflinching. "As was I. Afterwards, I signed up for the war in Palamar knowing I'd probably die there. And I welcomed it." "And I," said Saladin. He looked up, past Sarge's shoulder, to where Miss Clover, the fairy godmother, was standing, her eyes dark and troubled, her hair strewn with glitter and rose petals. "Is that enough truth for you, Illyria?" "I hate you both," the fairy said, and blew her nose on a large dock leaf. "That's what I wanted to hear from both of you." She narrowed her eyes at Dennis. "She knew that, didn't she? Your Z, when she made the constraints of the wish." "She's smart," said Dennis. his chest swelling with pride. "Fine," snapped the fairy godmother. "Screw you all. Go home to your happy human lives and cups of tea and boring sense of duty."
"I came all this way to find you," said Saladin steadily. "After all these years, what makes you think I want to go home?"
Sarge flailed an arm. "Come on, mate, you don't mean that." But Dennis thought otherwise. There had been a lot of truth-telling tonight. He could spot the signs.
"Shut up," said Miss Clover furiously. "Go home, Saladin."
"How many wishes do I have to make before you let me stay?" asked the soldier. They stared at each other. Sarge opened his mouth to say something else. But in the second it took him to do that, Miss Clover sent them home. Sarge stumbled on the carpet of Prince Chase's bedchamber. Dennis reached out to catch him to stop him falling, but Sarge shoved him away and hit the nearest wall. He looked ill. Camilla, by the window, turned around with a hand to her mouth and immediately looked disappointed that it was them. Dennis only had eyes for Kai, who lurched away from Camilla's side and enfolded him in the best hug he'd experienced in years, possibly ever. Boyfriend. So that was a thing. The adjoining door opened, and Prince Cyrus stepped in from his own room, Ziggy at his side. "I didn't want to come home hard enough," he protested.
"Apparently you did," Ziggy argued.
Camilla gasped and threw herself at her brother, hugging him. "Where's Chase? Did he get back?" Dennis looked around, troubled. "He was with Jack."
"Weren't you supposed to bring Saladin out too?" Kai whispered, darting a look at the Sarge, who looked like he was about to start tearing down the walls.
"Long story," said Dennis. "He stayed."
"So not a very long story."
"That depends on where you start." Chase found himself back on the turrets of the tallest tower, looking out at the rookery pitch. Cold air stung his face. Snow was on its way again. That was one thing to say about Fairyland. They had excellent central heating. He shuffled forward, watching his feet as they neared the edge.
"I didn't want to come home," he muttered. "Why did it even work? I was supposed to want it."
"You don't always get what you want," said a sharp voice. "Jack.
Why are we up here?"
"I like it here. The view."
"Chase," she said. And that was wrong. His Jack should never sound so soft and sympathetic.
"Can we go inside now? The others will be worried." A fleck of snow danced down on the breeze, near enough to his mouth that Chase tried to lick it and failed. He swayed a little on the edge of the tower.
"Chase," she said more urgently.
"I got it, Jax. I'm good." His feet were cold. So he could still feel things, apparently. They were going to hurt like hell when he warmed up.
"Can I be the one to explain to Dad how we all barely survived a mystical, magical fairy adventure?"
"No."
"Can I tell reporters from the Herald? It'll make a nice change for them to get all the quotes tidy from a proper interview."
Jack sighed heavily.
"No."
He let her take his hand and lead him towards the steps.
"So marriage is definitely off the table then. I swear, Chase, I will push you off this tower if I have to."
Chase laughed, and it wasn't an entirely horrible sound.
"Nah," he said.
"Not today." Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts and collect a free ebook of my story Fake Geek Girl by following the link in the show notes. See you next time for the very last episode of Dance, Princes, Dance.